Thank you, everyone. So I am with the Center for Urban Transportation Research, or CUTR, and we're located at the University of South Florida in Tampa. And today I'm going to talk about one of our programs, or one of our projects, that was trying to look at the car share program that's currently available on campus and how we can better promote that program with our students. So we wanted to really understand how students felt about the program and what kind of encouragement could be used to encourage them to join the program and to use it. And I have no relationships to disclose. So just a little bit of background on the University of South Florida. So again, we're located in Tampa, which is Central Florida. It's a suburban area, and we're very much a commuter school. So you have about 38,000 students and 12,000 faculty and staff, and the overwhelming majority of these individuals bring a car to campus daily. So probably over 90% drive a personal vehicle to campus. The car share program began in July of 2009, and we provide subsidies for this program for the first 3 years to kind of get up and going. And there's currently 4 vehicles that are located on our campus that students can rent by the hour. So some of the reasons why this program was initially brought to the University of South Florida campus. So first, we wanted to reduce congestion by encouraging alternate modes of transportation. So like I said, most people on campus bring a personal vehicle. The Tampa area is very congested in general, but around the university, congestion is a huge problem, especially on campus. We also want to reduce auto ownership amongst students. So our first year students, a new policy that was put in place about 5 years ago is first year students now have to live on campus. However, there's no policy limiting car use or bringing a car or vehicle on campus. So now that we have the policy in place where students have to live on campus that first year, we really want to encourage students to be able to get around, not bring a car to campus with them that first year at least. Also providing cost savings since students would pay per use, so versus owning and maintaining a car. This way they would only pay for a car when they need it. Reduce emissions by lowering the overall vehicle miles traveled. Facilitating more efficient land use. We have currently, we're building parking garages, it seems like all the time. I think we have about 6 or 7 located on our campus now, but they're constantly building new parking garages. Parking's a huge issue on our campus. So really facilitating more efficient land use rather than keep building parking garages and replacing lots, maybe more green spaces and things such as that. And also increasing mobility options and connectivity among the different transportation modes. So I'm with the TDM program at CUTR, and we've adopted a community-based social marketing framework that we've been applying to several of our programs. So this is just one of the programs that we're trying to use this framework to see if we can change individuals' behaviors. So just very briefly, social marketing really is using marketing concepts to try to encourage people to shift their behavior. And one of the hallmarks of social marketing is the audience orientation. So really understanding what drives that consumer, what's going to make them or encourage them to change their behavior. So looking at what they want, what they value, what motivates them, what their barriers are, things such as that. So this project, what we were really interested in is looking at how students currently travel on campus and also from campus to other destinations. So what their current behaviors are, whether or not they'd be willing to adopt this car sharing program, what their opinions are about the program, some of the barriers they experience, why they're not joining the program, why they're not participating in it, and then finally, what marketing medium, what could we use to better encourage these students to use our program? So what we did is first, in last year, so fall of 2014, we conducted focus groups with students, and we recruited students on campus via Facebook. So we have the University of South Florida Facebook page with several subpages linked to the USF community. So we recruited through Facebook and also the student e-newsletter that gets sent out. And we held 7 focus groups with students, and we broke them up based on their status. So we had some groups with international students, non-resident students, resident students, and also the current car share members, because we really wanted to hear what was working, what wasn't working from the people that are currently partaking in the program. And we included currently enrolled students only at the Tampa campus. We have several campuses, but the CarShare program is available on one additional campus, but for this project, we specifically focused on Tampa. They had to be 18 years old and have a valid driver's license, and these are the requirements of the CarShare program, which are why these were inclusion criteria. And then from this focus group findings, then we developed an online survey, which we distributed to students in spring and summer of 2015. And inclusion criteria, again, currently enrolled students at the Tampa campus, 18 years old. We dropped the requirement of having a valid driver's license because we heard in the focus groups that even students without a valid driver's license were still interested in the program, specifically for carpooling. So we dropped that requirement so that we could hear that from them as well. And again, we recruited mostly through the e-newsletter this time. So just some of our characteristics. So for the focus groups and for the online survey, we had about 70% female. A small percentage international, which is very similar to our student status at the university. Most are full-time. Most are non-resident. For the online survey, 70% already own a vehicle, and 62% of them pay for the majority of their transportation costs. So one of the things that we were interested in is who they would find trustworthy to talk about the CarShare program. So typically, what's happened up until now, this CarShare program is through Enterprise on campus. So typically what happens is an Enterprise representative comes and sets up a booth at either one of our events, or on Wednesdays we have an outdoor kind of, it's called Bull Market, but an outdoor area where lots of vendors and things can set up. So typically an Enterprise representative would come and either set up at the Bull Market or set up a table, maybe at orientation. So we really wanted to find out from students, well, who would you trust to hear about this CarShare program? Who would really get you motivated to join the program? And we saw overwhelmingly the largest percent or the majority of students wanted to hear from other students who have used the program. So if you see in the light blue all the way to the right, is very unlikely, and then, or I'm sorry, very likely and likely. And you can see about 50% of students would be either very likely or likely to join the program if they heard about the program from fellow USF students. And then you can see where it says Enterprise representative at the bottom, how just over, I guess about 20% of students would be likely or very likely to join the program if they heard about it from the Enterprise representatives. So you can see how what's currently being used probably not the best way to encourage our students to join the program. So some of the barriers to using the CarShare program, this was really interesting. We heard lots of different barriers in the focus groups and then followed up with those on the survey. So why students don't join the program and they're not using it. So one of the biggest things was lack of awareness, and I'll go into lack of awareness and lack of knowledge and misconceptions in just a moment. But some of the other ones were that it's not USF branded. So the students were really concerned that the cars say Enterprise on them and they do not resonate well with students as a program for them. So we're changing that now to put decals on the cars and some license plates and things to make it a little more representative of USF, kind of the bull culture. We're USF Bulls. Just kind of more of the culture of USF, and this is a program for our students. It's not corporate Enterprise coming in and trying to have them join this program. Students were also worried about extra fees associated with the program. There are some hefty fees if they return the car late or if there's damage to the car, things like that. And there's also a credit card requirement. And a lot of students were really concerned that they had to have a credit card on file to join the program. And a lot of students talked about how they don't have credit cards, or their parents don't have credit cards, or they don't have good credit, and so they're not able to join this program. So students talked about wanting to have other options, maybe having the option of either debit cards, or we have Bull Bucks that's associated with their student ID. So rather than having a separate card for this program, they would just have their student ID that they could use to access the program and have it preloaded with Bull Bucks, maybe by their parents. Also, the location of vehicles and the campus shuttle schedule. So the vehicles, there's only four vehicles. There's two in each location, so two locations, which is a quite a far walk from most of the dorms and also the students that live off campus. It's almost inaccessible. Also, the campus shuttle schedule ends early on weeknights, and on weekends it's very limited schedules, so people have a hard time accessing the vehicles. A lot of students felt the program wasn't for them. They already own cars. It takes planning and a lack of freedom. A lot of students equated the car share program to having parents that tell them what to do rather than having their own car, that they're just free to do whatever they want. So instead, students said, well, you need to prove to me that I'm going to have more freedom, not less freedom. They were concerned about other car share members leaving the cars dirty or not returning it on time. And a lot of our international students talked about unfamiliarity with driving around USF and how options like Uber and Lyft were just more practical and easier. So I said I would go into lack of awareness a little bit more. So lack of awareness was huge. Over 50% of students had no idea this program even existed. So in 6 of our 7 focus groups, students did not know the program existed. And it would have been 7 out of 7, except one focus group was with current members. So they had to know it existed. But all of the other groups had no, there were members in each of the focus groups that had no idea the program was there on campus. And then when we surveyed, over half had no idea that this program even existed. And here's just a couple quotes that I thought highlighted that finding. Lack of knowledge and misconceptions. So this was interesting. In the focus groups, we heard something that, and why I like focus groups so much, something that we never even considered. So if you see that photo there, that is one of the parking lots where the car share program, where the two of the car shares are parked. And if you're looking at that picture, on the left side of the picture, all the way in the back are where the two cars are. And it's hard to see, but by those palm trees, there's a walkway. And right across the street is a huge freshman dorm. So most freshmen, for their first year on campus, this is a brand new dorm just for freshmen. So we thought it was a perfect place to park these two vehicles because they walk by it every single day. They'll see it. They know it's there. However, the E stands for employee lot. And so students thought that because it was in the employee lot, it was for employees only. So something that we never considered until we started asking students why they weren't part of the program. And then from the survey, we found 81% of people that knew about the program also knew that it was available for students, faculty, and staff to rent vehicles by hour or day, which is great. However, 78% of students knew that you had to be 18 years or old or older. And then only 50% knew that fuel and insurance is included in the hourly rental. So you can see our knowledge level is not quite where we'd like it to be amongst the students that were aware of the program. So we also asked students about the benefits of the car share program. So what kinds of things can we highlight if we really want to encourage students to partake in this program? So the first thing they said, a benefit is convenience and flexibility, which I'll go into more in the next slide, and also features and selection of vehicles. Also, the car share program provides cost savings since it's pay per use. It does provide freedom, so kind of interestingly that some students said it does provide freedom while some said it was taking it away. It can be a dependable backup vehicle. There is that lower age requirement to rent, so you only have to be 18 versus 25 with some other traditional car rentals. There is an app that's available that students liked. It can save time. And also, of the students who were part of the program, they said there was great customer service. So convenience and flexibility, this was the most often mentioned benefit in the focus groups. So students really liked that it was on campus. And the majority of students said that since it was there, you don't have to find a ride, you don't have to go that extra step, it's already on campus. So students really liked that when we talked about benefits in the focus groups. Also, as far as cost savings, so we looked at different benefits of the car share program, and we asked students what was the most important to them, and you can see from this chart down the bottom, cost savings is the third from the bottom, and that was extremely important or very important by over 80% of our students. So cost savings, if we really want to highlight a benefit of this program, we need to highlight that It's convenient and it saves them money. So just some of our conclusions. Again, identification of barriers and benefits useful to gain a better understanding of their perceptions. We found that students are very price sensitive. So cost was identified as a major barrier and benefit, so we have to be careful on how we message this program if we really want students to join in. The students value their freedom, flexibility, time, and convenience. The majority of students are unaware of the program. There are some misconceptions about the program features, and students trust other students. So kind of wanted to show you next steps, and this is my last slide, but next steps. Since we are using a community-based social marketing framework, we're working on now putting together that project and what this social marketing project is going to look like. So now that we have the formative research done and we know what's going to motivate these students, this is kind of an idea. This isn't finalized yet, but just kind of an idea of what we're thinking about doing with our students. So we want to focus on those incoming freshman students that have to live on campus. And then also, maybe as a secondary priority audience, the international students that often come without a car. So looking at our four P's, since this is a marketing project. So the core product that we really want to showcase to students is that this program would offer freedom, independence, and cost savings. And then what we really want students to do is join the program. So we're trying to sell them on a car share membership. The prices that we want to focus on, students talked about in the focus groups, and we asked them as a follow-up on the survey if they would like an incentive program, and students said they would, and the best incentive program would be rewards-based, like airline points that they accumulate. So we're working on figuring out how we can incorporate that with this program, and then also having students pledge to not bring a vehicle on campus for two semesters. Some of the place recommendations would be to give students information at orientation from other students. And then also possibly moving some of our vehicle locations, maybe within a half a mile of the dorms. In the survey, we also asked students how far they'd be willing to walk, and over 75% of students said they would not walk more than a half a mile. So those cars have to be located within a half a mile or students will not use them. And then also information available at the vehicle parking spaces. So right now, there's just a sign in front of each vehicle that says Enterprise Car Share Rental. So if we gave students the information at the car, rather than expecting them to remember something about it, go home, look it up, if we gave them information right at the car, we're thinking about maybe some kind of like a visor in the window, just very simple that tells them, you know, you can rent me by the hour or something, some kind of message that's quick to the point. And then finally, promotion with our student ambassadors, which we're working on now, recruiting those ambassadors and getting them to work with us on this program, and specifically branding the advertising materials and the cars as well, because the students found that to be really important, that if this was not branded towards them, they weren't going to use it. And that was it. Okay.
Awesome Autos.
Awesome. Yeah, we've had quite a few. We've kind of been going back and forth with to try to get
I'm working on a logo, too.
Yeah.
Does anyone have any questions?
Yes.
What are the costs of owning a car for students? Besides the obvious of owning and maintaining the car, is there parking fees? Is there close to the garage or the parking lots and dorms compared to the rental car?
So the parking is very close to the dorms. So that's not a non-monetary cost or monetary. As far as parking, we do have parking fees, but compared to other universities around the country, they're very small. I mean, students only pay about $150 a year. So yeah, so it's really not a disincentive to pay for parking. Students pay for their vehicle, their gas, insurance, parking, but not enough to disincentivize them, unfortunately. Did that answer your question? Okay. There is, if we, the cars are per, they have a certain amount of cars per members. So if we increase our membership, Enterprise has agreed to place more cars on campus, but we have to get more students to be a member of the program first. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Just kind of going on what she said, it's four cars for 38,000 students, and these cars are located on campus. First of all, this increased, you know, time flexibility on four cars, so I wouldn't even bother, I think. Not to like insult anything. What they did at my school, just kind of a suggestion about going to college, was you said most people commute to campus and we had a whole ride share kind of website, so people can sign up for that.
Mm-hmm.
And that way all those commuters, you know, people can do ride share or whatever that don't live on campus, and that goes into some of your goals, you know, increase or reduce congestion around campus.
Yeah, that's interesting. We actually do have Zimride as well, which is kind of the partner of this program. However, we're having the same dilemmas with getting people to sign up for that as well. But yeah, that's actually, when we market these two programs, we do market them together to try to get people to join both to kind of help with that as well.
Jamie? How far is the commute for most people to school?
I would say most students live close to campus. However, as far as freshmen, if you live within a 3 or 4 county radius, you don't have to live on campus. Mm. So those students are driving probably about 30, 40 miles.
I asked because I wondered if bikes can, obviously, go full bikes.
We just launched our shareable bike share program last month now. So we do have bike share, which is becoming much more popular very quickly than the car share. But students did talk about biking to campus, especially the ones that live very close to campus, that was a competition as well.
I have a question for you, Chair. Is the university considering at all doing a policy where students for the first or second year can't have cars on campus?
As of right now, no. Our parking and transportation department is funded externally. I guess they run externally from the university, so their revenue comes in from parking passes and parking citations and everything parking related to fund their garages and things. So at this point, there is no assistance as far as getting any kind of policy in place to reduce that revenue stream.
I have another question. In your focus groups or your interviews, did you find evidence of this phenomenon about peak BMT in the U.S. where more and more teenagers are putting off getting a driver's license or learning how to drive? Or maybe that's why they prefer Uber and Lyft, because they don't know how to drive. Did that come up?
It actually didn't. And I think that Tampa is just different than a lot of other places in the country where that phenomenon is happening. I mean, we see it somewhat, but Tampa, we have transit. However, the transit system isn't like other cities. We don't have a great transportation system in place. So students, I mean, most people do get a driver's license still and do drive.
Any other questions for Amy?